years as he's sang for us from place to place. Good evening to each of you. We're very happy that you're here this evening. And we hope that as we're going through this series on the second coming of Christ, I hope that you're beginning to get a sense of the times in which we're living in and the promise that God gives that Jesus is coming back, and that each one of us need to be looking, waiting, watching for the coming of the Lord. Something that all of us need to desire, and we need really, folks, to plan our lives around the fact that we want to be in God's kingdom. That is something that we should long for and look for. And so we hope it's a blessing to you as we talk about the coming of Jesus Christ. What does the Bible tell us? What does it say about the coming of Jesus? What says the Bible? The blessed Bible. This my only question be. The signs of Christ's coming are now all around us. What says the Bible to me? That's what we want to find out. Tonight, we're talking about the manner of Christ's return. How is he coming back? The manner of his return. Tomorrow evening, we're going to be talking about the subject, the night watch. The night watch. There's a text in the Bible which says, what about the night? To ask the watchman, what about the night? We're going to look at that. What about the time in which we're living in? How do I relate to these things? What admonition does the Scripture give us concerning the coming of Jesus Christ? And so we hope you'll be sure and tune in. If you're watching by television or by listening on the radio, be sure and tune in to that next presentation on the night watch. I hope it'll bless you. What are you looking for in tonight's presentation? The coming of Jesus Christ. We're really dealing with the manner of Christ's coming. How is he coming? Christ makes four very, very clear, emphatic statements concerning his coming that tells you and I how he's coming back. And that's what we're looking at tonight. And we hope that that will help you and I see the way Christ is coming and how it will take place when he comes. So follow carefully as we take a look at the subject of the coming of Jesus Christ. As we read the Scripture many times, we ply, because it says, you know, watchman, what of the night? And it says the bridegroom came at midnight and so forth. But Walter's going to sing for us a song that pictures the coming of Jesus Christ. It's entitled, It May Be at Morn. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening beseeching your presence, asking that each of us may have eyes that are open, ears that are listening, that the Holy Spirit may quicken us, and that we may see and prepare for your coming. Give us understanding as we open your word this evening, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Have you ever been deceived? Have you ever got involved in something you thought it was right, you know, and in every way, and then found out that you had been conned and it wasn't right at all? Have you ever stood and watched a shell game? You ever been involved in one of those things, you know, where they take those shells and move them around and you're supposed to guess, and just been, you know, deceived, just outright deceived about it? I just finished reading a book on Houdini. I don't know if you know who Houdini was, but he was a magician or a sleight of hand artist and so forth. He made no bones about it. I mean, that's what he was there to do, is to deceive you. In fact, as I was reading the book, he had done some sleight of hand stuff, and President Teddy Roosevelt was there in the room, and he actually did what he did with the president. And after it was over, the president asked him, he said, "Now, did you do that by some supernatural means?" And Houdini said, "Sir, that wasn't anything but hocus pocus. That's all it was." And he was just outright deceived. Probably one of the greatest deceptions that's going on in the world today is the deception concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. When Christ's disciples came to him when he was there on the Mount of Olives, and they asked him those questions that we talked about the other night. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? They asked him that. The very first thing that Jesus said to them after they asked that question was this: "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you." That was the very first thing he said to them. He said, "Now watch out. Be careful. Make sure nobody deceives you concerning the coming of Jesus Christ." In fact, Paul went on and he admonished the people. He said, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, let no one deceive you by any means." He said, just don't be deceived concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. So tonight, we want to look and see, what does the Bible say? What does it say about the coming of Jesus Christ? That's what we want to find out. That's what we want to know. Does the Bible, what does the Bible say about the coming of Jesus Christ? What says the Bible? The blessed Bible. "This my only question be, the teachings of men so often mislead us. What says the Bible to me?" That's what we want to find out this evening. Find that when Jesus left, went back to heaven, it says that he sent a couple angels to help us know. It says, "Now when he had spoken these things," this is when he was ascending to heaven, "while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight," being taken to heaven. "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus." This what? This same Jesus. That meant that the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be visible. It's going to be personal. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come what? In like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Here these angels are telling these disciples that he's coming back just like he went into heaven. They saw him go into heaven. He's coming back the same way. Goes on and tells us here in 1 John 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as" what? "He is." So the coming of Christ is going to be a visible coming. It's going to be a physical coming. It's going to be something that you and I can see. It's not going to be taking place where we don't know that it's happening, folks. That the Scripture is clear on. It's a physical, literal coming of Jesus Christ. Four times in Scripture, Jesus said these words: "So also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Now write it down. And we're talking about the coming, and these are Christ's own words. And he says, "So will the coming of the Son of Man be." He's saying, my coming is going to be just exactly like this. That's the way my coming is going to be. So let's take a look at those verses and see what the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be like. Matthew 24:27. That chapter he's talking about is coming. He says, "For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." He said, as lightning comes out of the east and flashes clear across the sky to the west, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. As I told you, I grew up in Oklahoma. My father was very, very fond of hunting and fishing. And so I can remember, came home from work one day and he told me, he said, when you come home from school tomorrow, he said, if you'll get all the fishing gear ready, when I come home from work, we'll pack up the car and I'll have your mother fix us lunch and all, and we'll go out and spend the night on the river fishing. Well, of course, to a 10-year-old boy, that was music to my ears, you know, anxious to do that. So when I got home, I got all the fishing gear all fixed up, and mother had us a meal or a lunch all packed and everything, and we loaded the car up and drove out to what is called the Kaimishi River. And we got out there and fixed us a place there, and I remember put out the poles and started fishing, and Dad went up on the bank there, and he took a hatchet, and he cut down what we called post oak runners. Now, post oaks are little trees that they make post out of. And anyhow, he cut these down, and he made a lean-to, and he took a blanket and spread it out under this lean-to, and told me, he said, now, if you get tired, you can come up here and lay down and take a nap if you want to. Well, I went down, started fishing, but the fish weren't biting. And it wasn't too long till I was bored. And so I went up and sat down on this blanket under this lean-to. Hadn't been sitting there long until off in the distance on the horizon, I could see the flash of lightning. You know, and didn't think much about it. But as I was sitting there, it wasn't too long until I could begin to hear the rumble of thunder. Now, if you've ever lived in Oklahoma, you know, a storm can develop quite rapidly there. And so I'm sitting there on the blanket, and that storm's getting closer and closer and closer, and the lightning is getting brighter and brighter, and the thunder's getting stronger. And I mean, it's getting really bad. And I guess my father got concerned about me, because he came up and had a seat beside me there under that lean-to. And I can remember that storm passed right over us, and I to this day have not forgotten. The thunder was so loud, folks, it shook the ground. And I closed my eyes as a kid. I can remember closing my eyes, and I could still see the lightning. Now, when lightning comes out of the east, shines clear to the west, you better believe you can see that. It's not something that's quiet. It's something that's happening. Christ said, my coming is going to be like this. Like lightning coming out of the east, shining clear to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's a promise given to us. It says, behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. It says, behold, he is coming with clouds. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You ever wondered why, as you read through the Scripture, so many times it says that he's coming with clouds? You know, what are those clouds coming back with? It says, behold, he cometh with clouds. What are they? I can remember years ago, I'm sure some of you remember, seems like it probably, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago now, that when we had this great big to-do about flying saucers and UFOs, you remember that? Well, when that took place, I really got interested in UFOs and flying saucers, and I got my hands on every book I could get them on and read all about flying saucers and all that. I can't really say I learned very much. But one thing I did learn is there's a religion connected with that. And they believe that Jesus came on a flying saucer. They believe he's going back to heaven on a flying saucer. They believe that that cloud that led the children of Israel was a flying saucer and all that. I want to read to you what the Scripture tells you they are. If you've got a Bible, you can take a look at it if you want to with me. But if you'll turn to the 104th Psalm, 104th Psalm in verse 3, it says here, he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. who makes the clouds his chariots, who walks on the wings of the wind. So it says that God makes the clouds his chariots. That's what they are. What are those chariots? Well, if you turn on over back over here to the 68th Psalm and look at verse 17, it says this: the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. So when it says that he comes with clouds, that's talking about all the angels that come with him. They're coming back with the Lord. The great angelic host will come with Christ. Okay, and it says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds of heaven, from one end to the other. All the angels coming with Jesus. Ever wondered about that? Did you know that you have an angel? That every one of us have an angel. It was given to you at birth. It goes with you throughout your entire life. Did you know that the Scripture says that you should be very, very careful how you treat children? Did you know that? And one of the reasons it tells you that is because it says that their angel looks on the face of God. What it says. Their angel looks on the face of God. So that you and I should be very careful how we treat children. You have an angel, and that angel goes with you throughout your life. Do you remember the time there in Acts 12 when Herod had James beheaded? And it brought so much favor to him from the Jews that he decided he would behead Peter also. Had Peter arrested. And he was put down in solitary confinement. Behind steel doors, and was chained to guards. He wanted to make sure that Peter was there, you see. Let me tell you something. Did you know that angels have keys to every prison? They do. And it says that he was going to behead Peter the next day. You know what Peter was doing? Sleeping. How many of you would be asleep if you knew your head was coming off the next day? But here he is sleeping, and he is sleeping so soundly that this angel comes in there and speaks to him, and it doesn't even disturb him. And finally the angel had to shake him. Said, "Wake up, Peter." And Peter thinks he's dreaming. See? And the angel said, "Come on, Peter, get up, get dressed." And I guess Peter wasn't moving very fast. And angel said, "Come on, Peter, put your shoes on." And Peter put his shoes on. And it says that Peter and that angel walked through those steel doors. They opened and closed. One right past the guards. Nobody knew anything. Walked out into the street. And the angel left. And all of a sudden, Peter realized he wasn't dreaming. That he was out there in that street by himself. And he said, "You know, what am I going to do?" So he decided to go to the home of John Mark. Gets over there. You know what they're doing at John Mark's home, don't you? Oh, they're having a prayer meeting. Yeah. They're having a prayer meeting, and they're praying for Peter. See? Praying that something will happen for Peter. And so here Peter is knocking at the door. And a young lady by the name of Rhoda went to the door to see who it was. And she looked out. Evidently there was a peephole or something there. And she looked out, and there was Peter. And she gets so excited, she didn't even open the door. She runs back in and tells them, "Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door." And they say, "No, he's not." And she said, "Peter's at the door." And they said, "Rhoda, are you okay? Are you all right? I want to ask you, is that where your prayer meetings are?" Is that the way you pray? You know? And she said, no, Peter's at the door. And they said, Rhoda, it's his angel. You can read it there, Acts 12. That it's his angel. You see, each one of us have an angel. And when Jesus comes back, it'll be that angel that will come and get you and take you and present you to Jesus Christ. Angel that knows you better than anybody else. That angel will come and present you to the Lord. Well, it says, we looked at one. Here's the second one. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, if you really want to know what the coming of Christ is going to be like, well, it's going to be like as in the days of Noah. Okay? I want to ask you something. Did those people in the days of Noah, did they know it was raining? You better believe they knew when it started raining. There was no question they knew it was raining. There's going to be no question that you're going to know when Jesus is coming. This is not going to be something that's going to be snuck up on. It's going to be something you will be very much aware of. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Said they were going on. Noah had preached to them for 120 years. 120 years, and they had tuned him out. As far as they were concerned, he was some crazy old man over here building a monstrosity, if you please, that never would it be possible for it to rain enough to take care of that. They had tuned him out. And so you live in an age where people tuned out the coming of Jesus Christ, going about life just like there was no urgency. They didn't need to worry about it. Just continuing on day by day like they always had. But take heed to yourselves. Let not your heart be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. That day come on you, what? Unexpectedly. Said, watch out. Because it may come upon you when you don't in the least expect it. Jesus will come. We need to be watching, waiting for the coming, because it'll take place. The third one. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Okay? Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so it will be in the day in which Christ comes back, in which it rained fire and brimstone down and destroyed those cities on the plain, got rid of all of them. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Watch as the Scripture pictures very clearly what the reaction will be. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. Can you just imagine what happens if you walk out here and all of a sudden the sky just starts rolling back like a scroll? Do you think you'd know something was going on? Yeah. If mountains and islands were moved out of their place. This is talking about the coming of Christ. The heaven, the part is a scroll. Mountains are going to be moved out of the place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the commanders, and the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They're very much aware that something's happening, folks. It says this is the way the coming of Christ is going to be. They're going to be aware of something. They're going to be aware. And it says to hide Him from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So the coming of Christ, it's not going to be something that will be quiet, something they will not be aware of, but it's something that we will know. We'll know what's going to happen. And there was noises and thundering and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. There would be a great earthquake. We talked a little bit about earthquakes. We see more of them. The intensity of them is greater. But let me tell you, friends, never be an earthquake like this one. This will be it. I get amused, particularly when I'm out in California, you know, and they have earthquakes ever so often. And there'll be an earthquake that will shake things and all. And you'll tune in on the television that evening and the news that evening. Almost invariably, the news commentator will say, well, this wasn't the big one. Well, let me tell you, this is the big one. Right here, this is the big one. Never been an earthquake like that. I can tell you, it will be off the Richter scale. It's describing what's going to happen when Jesus comes. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so it will be when Jesus Christ comes back. And they did not know. They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. They didn't know. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, Paul talks about it. He says that you and I are to be children of light. He says we're not children of darkness, that day should come upon us unaware, but that we are children of light. There is no reason for you and for me not to understand where we are, that day would come upon us unaware. There's no reason for that. We need to be into God's Word. We need to be reading it. We need to be studying it. We need to be preparing for the coming of the Lord. That we need to be doing. In fact, Jesus, talking about the Jewish people in the time when He was here, said this about them, speaking of Jerusalem, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Terrible. Told him there won't be one stone left on top of another because you didn't know the time of your visitation. And when he told them that, I mean in broad day, in clear terms, they laughed at it. You see, there were stones in that temple, in that wall, that were 30 foot long. Some of them were as wide as 4 foot, laid on top of one another, perfectly laid. And for him to make a statement like that, that there wouldn't be one stone left on top of another. But true to his word, when that temple caught on fire and began to burn, and the gold melted and ran down into the rocks and into the creeks and the crevices and the cracks of those rocks. After that was over, people came in there and they pried every last one of those stones off the other to gather the gold. Just exactly said, because they did not know the time of their visitation. You and I need to know where we are. We need to understand the time of visitation very, very clearly. But let me tell you something. There won't be anything like the coming of Jesus Christ. There will be a glory connected with the coming of Christ like this world has never seen. I can assure you, don't let anybody ever tell you that people won't be aware that it's going on, because when I'm through with the next few points, you'll understand that everybody will know. There will be no question. Listen to what the Scripture says about this. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and what? Great glory. Says when He comes back, He's not going to come secretly. He's not going to come quietly. He's going to come back with power and great glory is how He's coming. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of His mouth and destroy with the what? The brightness of His coming. Now the glory that is there, it says it will be as a consuming fire. And He will destroy with the brightness of His coming. So let's take a look this evening at this glory that it talks about, what it's going to be like, the glory of the Lord. For whoever is ashamed of Me, Christ says, and My words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when He comes in His own glory and in His Father's and of the holy angels. So it says He's coming back in His glory. He's coming back in His Father's glory. And He's coming back in the glory of the holy angels. Have you ever looked at that? To see what that's like when it says He's going to come back in His Father's glory? What was the glory of the Father like? Going to come back in His Father's glory. Well, you remember, God had told Moses, come up into the mountain. And Moses went up in the mountain, and he spent 40 days there. One of the things that Moses asked when he was there, he said, Lord, show me Your glory. Ask for that. And the Lord said, okay, Moses. And He put Moses in a cleft of a rock. Scripture says He put His hand over, and He passed by, and He let Moses see His back. And Moses saw the glory of God. Now, folks, watch this. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tables of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Now, get a picture. And Moses is not aware of this. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Now I want to ask you something. If the reflected glory of God is so bright that these people didn't even want to come near Moses, what must the glory of God be like? Amen. See? And Jesus said, I'm going to come back in My Father's glory. And here the reflected glory of God was so bright that people couldn't stand to look at it. Not only that, He said He was going to come in His own glory. Come back in His glory. What was the glory of Christ like? Well, we have an example in the Scripture. Jesus is taken. Peter, James and John with Him up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there He meets with Moses and Elijah, and Christ is transfigured there, and the Scripture describes it with these words. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, His brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And it says in Scripture that they could not stand to look upon it because of the brightness. So here we have the divinity of Christ shining forth with such brightness they couldn't even stand to look upon it. And Jesus said he's coming back in his glory. So he's not just coming in the Father's glory, he's coming in his glory also. And he said he's going to come in the glory of the angels. Glory of the angels. What's the glory of an angel like? Well, Christ has died. They've placed him in the tomb. They have put 100 soldiers guarding the tomb. The centurion has 100 soldiers under him guarding the tomb. Make sure it's not disturbed. And it says that an angel came. Listen. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Can you picture it? One angel. I'm not talking about 100 angels. I'm talking about one lone angel came, rolled back the stone, sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. One angel comes, his countenance is like lightning. Watch, these are soldiers. These are trained men to fight anything. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. I mean, those soldiers fell to the ground like dead men. The countenance of one angel. Oh, the glory. It says he's coming back in the glory of the angels. How many angels are there? When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Listen to that. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. So the Scripture tells us that he's coming back with all the angels, all of them. Well, the Scripture never numbers angels. You can't find it anywhere in the Word where it talks numbers angels. It just doesn't number them. Not there. It talks about an innumerable company of angels. It does say this. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Do you know what 10,000 times 10,000 is? Well, that's 100 million. I'm just saying there will be an innumerable company of angels, and they're going to come when 100 million angels come, and each one of them's countenance is like lightning. Are you trying to tell me that that's something that can't be seen? You better believe you'll see that. Know when Jesus is coming. You and I, fortunately, we have the assurance that God is there and caring for us, loves us. Have that assurance. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Well, it's going to come. It's going to shout. His voice is going to roll through this earth like peals of thunder. And come forth those that have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. What's going to happen? They're going to be resurrected from the grave. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with what? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Just think, when he comes in all the glory of those angels, in His own glory and the Father's glory, and He's going to shout, and His words are going to roll through this earth, and the dead that are in the ground are going to hear that voice, and they're going to come forth. Marvelous. I've had a lot of people say to me, well, I just hope I can live to see the Lord come. I'm not sure I want to. I'm really not. I'm not sure, folks, that I want to miss the resurrection. Think of what that'll be. Just think when He comes and He shouts and the graves open and the saints come out of the graves. How wonderful that'll be. Marvelous experience, the resurrection. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. All the people come back. You see, the Bible not only tells you that Jesus is coming, it even tells you what the Lord is going to say when He shouts. It tells you that here in Isaiah. It says, your dead shall live together with my dead body, they shall arise. And then Jesus is going to shout out across this whole earth, awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth will cast out her dead. He's going to come, He's going to shout out across this whole earth, awake and sing. And all the dead in the grave are going to come up out of that grave, and they're going to come out of that grave singing, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave or Hades, where is your victory? As they come out singing that God has raised them from the dead. Dear friend, marvelous will be the resurrection that will take place at the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus will have come back. He will have set up His kingdom. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. He's going to come back, and He's going to set up His kingdom. And praise God, that kingdom will last for how long? Forever. Never again, never again throughout all time will there be war. Never again will there be starvation. Never again will there be any of the problems that we face today. That will all be gone. And all those people that are resurrected from the grave, and they'll come out and they will sing and they will say, and I heard as it were a voice of great multitude. Here's all the righteous, great multitude. As the sound of many waters and as the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Sin is no more. It's come to an end. Jesus has come back. He set up His kingdom, and the righteous now, down through time, will be able to rejoice with Him. Oh, dear friend, that's the glorious news, that Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. And that you and I can be waiting, watching for Him to come. We don't have to worry. The only thing that you and I need to be and make sure of is that we're ready for the coming of Jesus. That He's coming back for you and for me. And we just need to make sure that our hearts are ready for His return. It's almost time, friend, for the Lord to come.
'Tis almost time for the Lord to come. I hear the people sing, the stars of heaven are growing dim. It must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of
just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the assurance of your word. Thank you for the promises that you're coming back. For the instruction that helps us each to know what to look for and to plan and to prepare for your return. May each one that is listening by television, watching on television, or listening by radio, or here in the auditorium, may their hearts be full and may they have the assurance that they are looking and waiting, preparing for the coming of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May our lives be surrendered to you in all that we do, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
We got to tell others. That's our job. Because we have relatives, we have neighbors, we have friends. We got to go tell them and bring them. Now, I've got 4 more programs like this. I'm going to have it at a program that won't interfere with our main service. And we'll work something out because this man is gifted by God in pledging us to be God's children and be in his kingdom. I feel so good. We have Lotto. He would like to play his music now. And I want to hear it too. And then after that, I'll have a little prayer. We can all rejoice and tell others what we saw.
It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. How the Holy Spirit works, that it fits perfectly. This song, as I know that many of us going through struggles or whatever you're going through in your life, but you know what? Just surrender it. Just let it have it all. He wants it. He says, lay it down on my feet. You'll take it from there. The blessed hope we just heard from Brother Kenneth, that's the hope that encourages you and me.
I'm trading my shame. I'm laying.
He was just filling up with love, wanted to share it. And I know I feel that way. Now, Ken Cox has another program at 5 he's put together, and I have them. They call about the Holy Spirit and how you have it and how you know you have it and how you know you don't have it. So there's 5 of those. And as time goes on this summer or winter and whatever, we'll have a chance to play them again. And this man is gifted. And he, did you feel the Spirit of God? I did. And let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, bless Kenneth Cox and his group, that they'll get the ambition and love that they want to. And now, Father, we know that he had the desire to tell this to the world. That's why he's on 3ABN and radio and everything else. Bless him, Father. So I try to support him when I can. And I'm grateful for you and all these, your brothers and sisters are longing for that day that we'll be in the kingdom. We ask that you lead us this day, all day. So let us study our Bible. So don't miss anything. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.